COP29 ends with a clash on climate cash.
It's like bringing a garden hose into a wildfire. It is outrageously inadequate, the climate crisis that we are facing. We need fire trucks. We don't need buckets of water.
Climate experts are fearful that politics is getting in the way of saving the planet.
We delay action means that there's going to be higher cost of living in the future, greater property damages, insurance costs, and ultimately irreversible impacts on our life support system that threaten all populations.
Today is Friday, November 22nd, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
Yeah, $250 billion is not what's needed in the context of clear agreement that we need $1.3 trillion for the developing country share of external finance. But it's a start.
A proposed deal on climate cash at the UN summit highlights a major split between rich and poor nations.
The COP29 Climate Summit presidency released a draft finance deal on Friday that would have developed nations taking the lead in providing $250 billion per year by 2035 to help poorer nations, a proposal that drew criticism from all sides.
South African Environment Minister Dion George.
I am displeased with the fact that we spent a whole lot of time working in the mitigation co-pair, and then we put together what I thought was a very nice, good, sensible text for it to be butchered to the point where there was actually no sense at all.
You know, Lori, the entire summit was influenced by the pall over the attendees from the U.S. presidential election. It started off at the very beginning of the COP29. People were disappointed because they're fairly certain that the United States is going to pull out of the Paris Agreement again.
Right. And there was also a lot of conflict going on about fossil fuel industry, people participating in the conference, which is sort of counterintuitive to what they're trying to achieve here with the urgency of climate change and global greenhouse gas emissions. So it just seems like from the start, it just seemed doomed from the start in some ways.
It really did. There were more than 1,000 lobbyists from the oil industry. And as we spoke about in an earlier edition of the show, they're not there to help with the transition to a carbonless energy solution. They're there to throw up roadblocks.
All right, well, let's get some more insights. Joining us now to help us understand what happened at the conference and why scientists are disappointed is Professor Greg Keolian from the School for Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan.
Thank you so much for being able to take the time and talk to us.
Sure.
So COP29 has been a mix of disappointment and frustration to many of the people that are attending. They went in hoping to get $1 trillion a year for developing countries to help them with the ravages of climate change. And at the very beginning of the conference, the dominant issue was the United States probably going to pull out of the Paris Agreement.
Yes. So a big focus of this COP29 is on climate finance to provide, you know, developing poor countries with assistance to cut their emissions, but also to cope with the impacts of the climate crisis. So we have increases in the severity of major events, flooding, drought, heat stress, that disproportionately impacts developing countries. They don't have the resources, the infrastructure. They're more vulnerable from these events. And so climate finance from developed countries was to help them both reduce emissions, but also be able to cope with the impacts of climate change.
So it sounds like there's a draft deal, but that nations are still far apart on actually reaching that deal. What can you tell us specifically about the disparities?
Yeah, so you started out with going into this meeting, there was a lot of uncertainty in terms of the commitments that were going to be made given the recent results in elections in the United States. And I think this is borne out. I think that the fact that Donald Trump is going to be the next president has really affected how countries are looking at climate finance and the United States itself. We know the position of President-elect Trump. He's called climate change a hoax. He pulled out of the Paris Agreement. So that has really clouded, you know, just going into the whole COP. And so economists have looked at what is needed for climate finance, some $2.4 trillion with an expectation of close to half of that coming from developed countries. So the target was really $1 trillion. And my understanding is that negotiations led to a $250 billion pledge, so one quarter of what is required.
I think one of the other big issues this week was a revolt at the number of, by environmentalists, about the number of oil industry lobbyists attending this annual conference. Something at about 1,000 delegates to the conference represent the oil lobby.
That's understandable. Just where the COP is taking place is in an oil-producing state. COP 28 was also in an oil-producing state. Last year, an outcome was to recognize that we need to phase out of fossil fuels. That was obvious before going into COP. It's very clear to address climate change, we need to follow the IPCC goals and targets, you know, cutting our emissions in half by 2030, net zero by 2050. And that means accelerating the transition to clean sources, renewables, can include nuclear power. The outcome was, you know, they made a declaration to phase out of fossil fuels. Well, that's not really that bold, but maybe for that industry, at least an acknowledgement and recognition was a big step. So there is concern just in terms of the continued influence of this industry. It's tremendously powerful. We've been with fossil fuels over 100 years. There's a lot of inertia, a lot of power, a lot of influence on politicians in terms of who they support and fund. And this is the challenge in terms of an energy transition, a clean energy transition, you know, bringing in new technology. It takes time to bring down learning curves to make these technologies efficient. But we're there with regard to renewables in terms of the cost of electricity from wind, from solar. We look at electric vehicles. Total cost of ownership is very close in terms of internal combustion engine vehicles. It's actually less with regard to sedans and getting closer with regard to larger vehicles. So the clean energy transition is positive not only in addressing climate change, but there's other co-benefits. There's job creation. There is the efficiency, the cost of ownership will be lower. So tremendous benefits, but we're dealing with an industry that is extremely powerful and influential with certain politicians. And so it's quite understandable about, you know, concerns by environmentalists and others in terms of their influence.
Well, what happens in the U.S., because we know that we have a new administration coming in and the potential for pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, but also talking about really ramping up oil drilling.
Yeah, so it's interesting because on one hand, the oil industry, you know, has recognized in the United States climate change and has recognized the need to reach net zero by 2050. But when you look at the actions and the strategy, how much oil is expected to be produced in 2050, these don't align. And there's a lot of misinformation, as we know. There was misinformation from the administration, and there's misinformation continuously from the industry itself. Yeah, I have deep concerns about what actions may be taken by the administration in terms of reversing progress. You know, the previous administration had the largest investment in clean energy with tremendous benefits in terms of job creation, in terms of reducing local pollution, addressing climate change. There is an attack on electric vehicles. And we've done research on the benefits of electrification of vehicles in terms of reducing emissions, even with current mix of electricity. And basically, if you buy a new electric vehicle today, instead of an internal combustion engine vehicle, over the life of the vehicle, you're going to reduce the emissions by 75%. Total cost of ownership is getting closer. And the American public needs to understand the severity of this problem. We delay action means that there's going to be higher cost of living in the future, greater property damages, insurance costs, and ultimately irreversible impacts on our life support system that threaten all populations. And we're seeing the effects of climate change today, right? We're seeing the flooding, the wildfires, the heat stress, the droughts. Billion-dollar weather events and climate disasters are increasing in the United States and around the world. This is intensifying and increasing in frequency. We need to get to the American people. We need to educate our incoming president about the urgency of this problem. So it's a question of, do we trust scientists or do we trust politicians that do not have an understanding of the problem and are presenting a lot of misinformation? I really appreciate what you're doing here. The media has to help get out good information because this is threatening the life support system of the planet.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I appreciate your talking about this very important and urgent issue.
That was Professor Greg Keolian from the School for Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan.
You know, it's covering this story, Lori, is like being on a roller coaster. Sometimes we talk to a scientist who is, you know, melancholy optimistic about the outcome of the battle for climate change. And then sometimes you talk to someone who's really pessimistic.
And deeply concerned, obviously, just worried and I think frustrated and disappointed.
Which I think is really the feeling that came out of this year's COP29, frustration and disappointment.
You have been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thanks so much for spending this time with us.
You can follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, you can always head to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you soon.